Scripture reading we're at this morning is from Acts chapter 8. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns, until he came to Caesarea. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God's spoken to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. So here's Philip. He's driven by the angel of the Lord out into the desert. And he may or may not know why he's out there. But he runs into this Ethiopian eunuch who's traveling home from some festival at Jerusalem where he's been worshiping, no doubt. And the Spirit says, "Go over and talk to this guy." And he goes over, and the guy is reading from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And he doesn't know what he's reading about. He knows that he's reading about some innocent man who's been punished for crimes that he didn't commit, and for some reason is allowing himself to be punished willingly. But he's not sure what's happening there. And when Philip comes up and asks him, "What do you think about what you're reading?" he says, kind of a normal thing if you didn't understand what you were reading. Is he saying this about himself? Like, how is this possible? Who's he talking about here? And Philip gets up there, and he talks to him about, Luke says in Acts, the gospel. Beginning at this text, he shares with him the gospel of Jesus. It's a good text to share the gospel from. It's about the suffering servant. It actually starts off with the gospel. Right before this section in Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant, there's this bit in Isaiah 52 that you guys are probably familiar with that goes like this: "How beautiful are the feet of him who brings gospel of peace, who brings gospel of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says," and here's the gospel he's publishing, "your God reigns. Your God is the king. Your God is the ruler of all things," Isaiah tells the people of Jerusalem. And then he goes right into the section Isaiah does about the suffering one. And in Isaiah's mind, somehow these two things are linked. The God who rules over all things and this suffering servant. And of course the guy doesn't get this. The Ethiopian eunuch doesn't get this. It's not the easiest thing to get. Luke explains to him, though, that in God's economy, power, the power that you and I think about, political power, the power of influence, the power of relevance, is cheap. Power in God's economy arrives on the back of suffering, the suffering servant. It's really hard for us as Christians to not want power. We spend a lot of time longing for the good old days back when we were relevant. And maybe if not everybody believed our message, maybe if not everybody loved us for our message, at least maybe close to everybody respected us. This is a will-o'-the-wisp. This is a false dream. That power never was able to accomplish anything. Real power is not the ability to influence people. Real power is not cultural relevance. Real power is not people looking at us and saying, you know what, I don't agree with them, but they're pretty intelligent. That's a group of real thoughtful people. Real power has always been and always will be the suffering Messiah. Real power is those of us who are combined to this suffering through faith. Paul says we carry about in our bodies the suffering of the Lord Jesus so that we can also demonstrate in our bodies his resurrection power. Real suffering is this deacon walking by himself around out there in the middle of the desert, waiting for the Holy Spirit to bring somebody along that he can talk about Jesus to. Real suffering is this call to this new convert to be initiated into your faith by acting out your own death by drowning in baptism. Real power is this weird character in this story who's allowing himself to be punished for other people's sins and doing it gladfully and willingly. That's real power. And the thing about it is that, and the church has learned this lesson through the years, and it's not a very fun lesson to learn, but this power is somehow attractive to those who the Holy Spirit is drawing to himself. This power draws and sucks people in, makes people ask questions like, what is this faith that they have that somehow grows stronger the more we stomp on it? What is this flame that somehow grows brighter and hotter and bigger against the wind? What is this love that they have for us that somehow grows more passionate and deep-seated the more we unrequite it or even despise it? Who is this strange man who would let us beat him up and bruise him beyond recognition, lynch him, assassinate him for crimes he didn't commit, and do it because he loves us? And that man is Jesus. He gave up lowercase p power, all of it, so that by dying and rising from the dead, he could get uppercase p power, all of it, become Lord of the universe for our salvation and forgiveness of sins and for our life. Amen.